Genesis chapter number 46, we'll look at the last four or five verses in that chapter. So if you'll go towards the end of the chapter, Genesis chapter number 46, we're going to continue teaching on the subject of instilling biblical masculinity into young men. We've been covering these on Sunday nights, of course, the last couple of weeks, got a bit sidetracked with special guests and whatnot, but we want to jump back into that. These are the tenets of biblical masculinity that we've covered. Young men are to be assigned tasks that put to use their physical strength and develop in them a work ethic. Number two, young men should be assigned jobs that require cunning, courage, and personal risk. Number three, young men should be taught that God considers it a great sin to abuse an assigned position of authority by using it for selfish gain and self-gratification. Number four, young men should be trained in proper communication. Number five, young men should be given opportunity to draw first blood upon the enemy. Number six, a young man should be trained to seek counsel from his elders, not his peers. Number seven, young men should be taught to praise the Lord. Number eight, young men should be taught that no matter how physically strong they are, a far superior supernatural strength can be accessed by learning to wait upon the Lord. Number nine, a young man should seek his spirit vision, a vision from the Holy Spirit. Number ten, young men should understand that God calls out of his prophets from every ranks and calls out his prophets from their ranks in every generation. Number 11, young men should be taught by elder men the four disciplines of Christian maturity. That's disciplined thinking, reputable living, pure convictions, excellent speech. This is to help them to offset number 12, young men must be taught that there are sins linked to youthfulness that will cause them great struggles. Are you at Genesis chapter 46? And let's read, please, standing with me, verse 31 on down to the end of the chapter, Genesis 46, 31. Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren, my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade, notice that, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Heavenly Father, as we get into these other tenets, begin to study down, Lord, as time allows, help us, Lord, to just connect with the Scriptures, convince us through your word. Lord, may we have some reset buttons hit in our thinking. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our parents, every single adult in here, Lord. Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, every church member has an obligation, responsibility to help develop biblical masculinity into our young men. So help us to be sensitive to these things and certainly not do just the opposite and work against these principles, Lord. But help us to shore up this, Lord, Lord, endangered. Some of these tenets are endangered in this generation. So help us, Lord, in our own young people to dedicate ourselves to producing young men for God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to develop another point that's connected with the last two that we cover next week, except just to mention it. I think you'll understand why. We will probably take different venues to teach some of this stuff. So we can develop some of these thoughts, but we talked last week and covered really just two main principles, trying to help our young men to understand that there are things that they're going to face in their youth that's unique to the youthfulness. Young men must be taught there are sins linked to youthfulness that will cause them great struggles, and then we spent some time teaching that young men should be taught by elder men. This is Titus chapter 2, verse 6-8. The elder men teaching the younger, exhort them to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The four disciplines of Christian masculinity, disciplined thinking, reputable living, pure convictions, excellent speech. And let me add this next point, and again, I'm not going to develop it, but I believe this. When I talk about young men, I'm not talking about just teenagers. Remember that. I'm defining young men as young men from 12 to about 30 years of age. I think that's the age area of young men. Might be a little higher than that, but that's probably a good good place for us to define it. But without developing, a young man should marry in his youth and should discover all the pleasures of women through one woman, the wife of his youth. Proverbs 5, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And you can read those scriptures. It gives more instruction there. But young men, one of the second greatest decision that you'll make in your life, second most important decision you'll make in your life, and you'll make it in your youth, is who you will spend the rest of your life married to. And we've done a lot of teaching and training on this. We've had some young men come through. They're very resistant to this teaching. They just get a rebellious heart against it and whatever. But I know this. I've never seen a young man buy into the Bible principles that we teach here that did not, in God's time, find that perfect helpmeet for his life. Now, you can get stubborn. You can decide you're going to do it your own way. You can say the Bible doesn't teach these courtship principles that Pastor Jerry wants to talk about. But, you know, if you'll read my little booklet on the seven royal laws of courtship, you'll find hundreds of Bible verses in it. And your opinions, I've yet to have anybody show up with a verse with your opinion that's opposite of those things. And so you might just look around and consider some things. You might listen to some men that are older than you and stop listening to your peers and just decide that, you know what, I can get some things wrong in my youth and recover from them, but if I get this wrong, you live with it the rest of your life. One way or another, you'll live with it the rest of your life. And so I appreciate the young men, and we do have young men, and we have them now that have just said, you know what, I'm going to do this the right way. We've got young ladies right now. Brother Reiser was telling me the other day, he said, the group of young ladies we have around here, he said, maybe the best we've had in years. He said, they're just gold. And we've got some young ladies. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm saying they're good girls. And they are buying into not Pastor Jerry's beliefs, but Bible convictions that's going to guard them and protect them and bring them to the right person in the right time in their life. Now, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing this. We'll do that in venues that would be more appropriate. But our young men do need to understand that this is, of all of the decisions they'll make in their youth, perhaps the most important. I read to you some scriptures that are going to introduce our first tenet. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but let me give it to you. Next, whatever number we're on. Young men should master a marketable skilled trade in their youth. And did you notice the context of the verse here? Here's some young men that were raised in a trade. Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd's an abomination to the Egyptians. Now, let me say this. One of the areas we're dropping the ball on is that we're producing 18, 19, 20-year-olds without a clue on how to make a living. No marketable skill that they can go out and bring into the labor force that makes them valuable, sought after, and allows them to earn what I call Marion money. Guys, there's money, and then there's Marion money. And if you haven't figured it out, the money is a lot less than the Marion money, all right? You take on a response, oh, I just want to get married. I don't know. I just don't want to get married. Sit down with daddy. I've had our young men do this, haven't I? How many of you and young men in Bible class, taught by Pastor Jerry, was required to go home with a piece of paper, sit home, and talk to your dad about what it costs to live? Raise your hand. Remember that? Levi, put your hand up. Thank you. All right. It's hopeless, man. It's hopeless. And But I did. I sat right back in that room upstairs, took our young men out of our Christian school and said, let me teach you some things. You know, I just want to get married. Okay. Well, how are you going to pay for everything? Well, we're just going to live on love. Right. You just wait till that electric bill comes and you just write love on it and send it back. You're going to be loving in the darks where you're going to be loving that time. Yeah, when mama wants to go get some groceries, you just say, honey, we don't need groceries. We just need love. And no, the honest truth is, and listen, folks, we're not doing it. Look right up here. Let me tell you why. Because we spend our, and like it, lump it, agree with me, don't agree with me. We're worshiping the God of sports. We're running our young, I'm not saying we are, but the culture's running our young people. I just don't know why you don't have a basketball team, blah, 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 blah. Because I've looked around, there ain't no NBA players here. And one of these days, they're going to have to get a job. Okay? I'd rather have a young man develop the work ethic in his youth. You know, I've said this to our young men, and it's true about a lot of our young men, but folks, I had three daughters go off to college, and every one of them had earned in their teenage years enough money to pay for their first year of college on their own. Now, if my girls can do it, maybe you boys could do it. There's something called a savings account you ought to be aware of. We opened our girls' savings account before they hit double-digit numbers. And you know what? We taught them what to do when money came their way. We taught them how to earn money. Now, what I'm saying is we've got a bunch of basket cases. We've got a bunch of welfare cases. You know, here's a saying. The Jewish men said, he that does not teach his son a trade is raising a thief. You can gripe about the Jews all you want. You can talk them about, you know what? Most of them's got money. You know why? They raise their young men to be a success and to have a marketable skill by the time they hit age where it becomes marrying age. They go out and make a living. Now stop it, folks. This whole idea, well, teenage years, we'll just let them play and, you know, they'll have to work hard. No, baloney. Well, they become men at 12. They ought to be trained. Jesus, it was said of Jesus. Do you think that's a good enough example, a high enough example for us? When he came back to his home city and preached, they said this about him: is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? And then in Matthew 13:55, we have recorded they said this also: is not this the carpenter's son? And so you know what Joseph did when Jesus turned 12 years of age? He came to him and said, here's my big toolbox, here's your little toolbox. You're going to work with Daddy. And I'm going to teach you over the next few years how to develop a marketable skill. You know why? Because they weren't going to raise somebody. It was going to be a burden on society. And so are you listening, parents? Are you listening? You are the ones responsible to see that that's done. Okay? I talked to Brother Jorgensen. He took me out to eat one day, and I said, Brother Jorgensen, what a gracious man. What a kind, gracious man. Brother Ross, let me ask you something. He said, is there anything we could do better here at the college to help your young people to be a success in all of this? He said, and I said, well, I don't know. Let me set that question aside. Let me ask you this. Is there anything we can do in the local churches to send you a product that will be a success? And he blinked a few times, looked around, looked at his wife, said, wow, I've never been asked that question before. Thank you. And what we want to do is we want to blame whatever when they get out there. Well, it's the college's fault. Well, it's this fault. It's that fault. It's the company's fault. Well, they did this. And the honest truth is we didn't prepare them to succeed. We didn't prepare them to succeed. And they can't go out. They've got 18, 19-year-old boys, never held a job in their life, never balanced a checkbook. Now, don't know what a savings account is. Doesn't have a dollar to their name unless mama gives it to them. That's crazy. That's crazy, Brother Tom. It's absolutely insane, and we bought into it. You know, what we're supposed to do is hand them money, and take them to this practice and this game, and let them get these uniforms that we pay for. And then let's bring grandma and grandpa and all of the relatives, the elder men, and let's have them sit in the stands, and every time Junior puts a ball in a hole, let's all stand and applaud. Think about it. No, let it sink in. It's insanity. You know, a 15-year-old spoiled snotty brat is the superstar of the family. And grandpa who knows more, has more knowledge in his little finger than that little brat has in his old body, is supposed to come and plot everything he does. Sell your trunk, sell your basketball, show up and sit at grandpa's feet. Have him teach you something that's actually going to matter in real life one of these days. Yeah, that's good stuff, amen. Yeah. I have been around youth groups everywhere. Let me give you two elements. If it's in the youth group, you got a carnal youth group. Big sports program in their Christian school. And no boundaries when it comes to boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. You put that in, kiss them goodbye. Guess what? We're not giving on either one of them. Huff and puff. Just huff and puff. It ain't happening here. It ain't happening here. Now, listen. Jesus was that example. There's people that propose that, and we don't have much mention of Joseph. I know this is speculation, but Jesus had to watch care of Mary, his mother. There's people that say that one of the reasons Jesus didn't go into ministry until 30 years of age, he was the oldest son. Many believe Joseph passed off the scene sometime during Jesus' young men years. We know Jesus had the responsibility of caring for his mother because on the cross he handed that off. And you know what he did? He had a mother and he had younger siblings. And when Joseph, whatever happened to Joseph happened, there was still a man in the house that could go out and take tools and put bread on the table. 25, 35, laying around the house, living off mom and dad. Craziness. Absolute craziness. So young men, listen to me. You need to work. You need to get a job. But not just get a job, but developing a work ethic is the first part. You can learn how to work hard, but if you don't have a marketable skill, you still aren't going to land a decent job. And so what we want to do and what we ought to do, I've proposed this. You would be well served, parents, once your boy hits 12, 13 years of age, to farm him out to men in this church that have skills, trade skills. I didn't say try to get them to pay him. I said volunteering. Okay. Why should they pay him? He don't know anything. He's the one getting the best deal. If he went to college, you have to pay for an education. Well, let me tell you something. Carpentry's an education. Plumbing's an education. Marketable skills is an education. Okay? Farm him out. Say, listen, I don't want to mess you up. I don't want to get in your way. And if it doesn't work out, don't get mad at, you know, you got to understand, men aren't in a position here, they're trying to make a living, to babysit some kid that don't want to pay attention or aren't mature enough to be in this situation. So don't get mad at them. But produce a product that knows how to say yes, sir, no, sir, pays attention, absorbs, listens, and hustles. You give me those young men, you know what? This church has always kept them busy. Let me say it again. This church has always kept them busy. Now, don't expect the men in this church to keep your son busy if he's a lazy bum. Okay? My daddy sent me out to put up hay. You know what he always did when he picked me up? He went to the farmer and said, how'd he do? How'd he do? But I knew that I better do well. How'd he do? Thought he was judgment day. Did he keep up? Did he work hard? Did he complain? How'd he do? Is that child abuse now? I don't know. Gosh. No, you know what child abuse is? Not teaching him. Not teaching him. Okay, we got a whole culture of bums. No. Not 15 to 30 years of age, whole culture full of bums. Okay? They got a little girl working two jobs they're living with. She's always driving. He's sitting over there. She parks the car, runs in. Casey's and comes out and gives him his cigarettes. She pays for it because she's got a job. Crazy. It is the truth. You got two eyeballs, you know it. It's what we're facing. Thank God for the young men around here. It's got some get up and go. Thank for the young men around here that just, you know what, they said in their teenage years, I'm not going to just sit around, whine about what I don't have. I'm going to get busy and work and get something. I'm going to throw some questions out. Excuse me, you're 15. Why is your mama still buying your school clothes? How come when you go on visitation, you got to go bum money from dad? From McDonald's? Oh, but I can dribble a basketball. Good for you. How's that paying? it is good. Okay. Got an entire chapter on that in the teenage years of Jesus Christ. We better get after it. Better get it going. Okay. Well, no, they're supposed to be a bum till they're 18, then they go and they learn something. No. If they don't have something learned by 18, see, folks, it's not just the learning of the trade skill. It's the discipline that it takes to learn the trade skill. And if they haven't been required to have that discipline, they're not going to have a discipline between 18 and 22 either. And so we need to move on. Go, if you will, to, there's so much here. What do I do next? All right. Let me get my notes situated here. I shuffled the papers out of order earlier. Plus, I just want that to sink in a minute, so I'm appearing to be confused. 1 John, chapter number 2. Let me show you another young man verse. I'm getting calls there. I taught this one time down at Milford, a couple different sessions, 45-minute sessions. I'm getting calls from everywhere. Brother Jerry, you have this material on masculinity. You know why? Because everybody knows we're dying. We're absolutely dying. Pray for me. I need to get this in book form, and I don't know when I'm going to. I don't have the time to do it, but I got to do it. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13. Are you there? Notice what it says here. 1 John 2:13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. Now notice what is said to the young men. I write unto you, young men, because ye have what? Overcome the wicked one. Okay, very good. Remember that. Okay? Let's keep reading. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. There's good instructions on what to teach children in here too. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men. Okay, they've given one thing. Now they're going to give two more. Because ye are what?
Strong.
Because ye are strong. And what?
The
and? Now they already mentioned that once, because you have overcome the wicked one. So there's three, listen to this, young men should learn to be successful in three vital areas. You need to learn this in your youth. Three vital areas that young men need to become successful in. Number one, overcoming satanic attacks. Overcoming satanic attacks. I've written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. Young man, I want to ask you a fair question. Answer it. I'm not picking at you, but when's the last time you had a confrontation with the devil and won? When's the last time you just didn't fold like a lawn chair when a little temptation came your way? You can't stand up to the devil as a young man. You don't develop that in your youth. You know what your life's going to be? A wreck. Okay? So overcoming satanic attacks. Number two, internalizing scriptural truth. The word of God abideth in you. Now, it's very interesting, that word abide. It's just not talking about you've memorized some words. It's talking about it actively lives in you. Internalizing scriptural truth. Number three, developing spiritual strength. These are three of the areas that we spend a lot of time in our young men's Bible class in our Christian school. If you young men have paid attention, you've noticed that the rotation and the times we get into in-depth study of these areas are often. Matter of fact, Brother Clanny just finished up a series that I asked him to teach to our young men in our Christian school to help them overcome satanic attacks. I don't know if he just finished it. Did he just finish it, or is he in the middle of it? I don't know where he's at on it. He gave me a set of the notes the other day, and they're excellent. You know what they do? They shore up this area. That gives them biblical ammunition and a biblical skill set to face satanic attacks and know how to become victorious, how to win them. And so we need to do that. Like I said, folks, we don't beat the air. We're not running in circles. There's a plan in place here. We do what we do on purpose. We don't flip a coin and say, well, we're going to cover this month. There's a Bible-based curriculum, Bible-based studies to equip our young men in areas that they need to be strong in. Now, I'm not going to develop these because these are in-depth. But young men should learn to be successful in these three vital areas. By 21, 22 years of age,
You ought to know how to overcome a satanic attack and come out victorious. By 15, 16, 17, you ought to be pretty good at it. Number two, you need to know how to internalize scriptural truth. Okay, folks, the Bible's not just on these pages, and they're not just in here. The Bible is here in your pastor. Here. It abides in me. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, you may ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Mm-hmm. Internalizing scriptural truth. Getting the church from the pages to the head to the heart of a young person. If you don't know how to do that, welcome to Blessed Old Baptist Church. We know how to do it. We work at it. It infiltrates every area of training here. We're not beating the air. We got a plan. And the young men that come and involve themselves in it, get it. Developing spiritual strength. Young men, I'm not against you developing your physical strength. I'm not for that. I think young men ought to learn to take care of their bodies and strengthen their bodies. Not so that you go out and win a trophy in football, but so that you can work hard. Core strength. There's a whole different set of muscles that's used in lifting weights and working. You ever seen those muscle-bound guys that show up and they're the ones that need a break about 3 times an hour? You see some kind of skinny, scrawny guy, and buddy, he just goes at it. 8 hours later, he's not stopping. We're so worried about outward physique, we haven't developed the work muscle set that allows you to become successful in labor, in work, and that's what God created you to do. Okay? And so these three areas, again, we could develop them, but we do develop them.
Amen.
Sign up. Get involved. It'll help your kids. Let me have you go to one more tonight. Let me have you go to Job chapter number 29. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say next, because I think it's vital. I think it's important. And I'm a little hesitant about saying this. I don't want to be a discouragement to those of you that got saved later on in life. But I think those of you that got saved later on in life, you're going to listen to me and you're going to say, uh-huh. And I'm saying this to encourage our young men. Job 29, verse number 1. Are you there? Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past. Think about that. He's looking backwards. As in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was, watch this, in the what? Now notice this next phrase. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Ooh, this is one of these things I feel like I've got to kick my shoes off my feet. We're going to walk on some holy ground right now. As a young man, you're going to know what I'm talking about right now, because it's in your life and the switch is on. Or I pray to God, I make you hungry for it. But look what he said there. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Whew. Let me read you a couple more portions of Scripture. Psalm 71, verse 16. I go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. David wrote as a young man that had developed a relationship with God in his youth. Ecclesiastes, Solomon exhorted us, remember now thy Creator. Watch this. When? In the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I'm not even sure I'm going to word this right. I'm going to do the best I can here. Let me give you the principle, because I took some time in presenting the principle, and then I'll do the best I can to explain it. Young men should be encouraged to seek God in their youth. And that the God-young man relationship, watch this, and that the God-young man relationship may be the most potent available to them in their lifetime. don't know what it is. And I want you to understand something. Let me do the best I can. I wouldn't trade the relationship with God I have now with the relationship with God that I had when I was 16, 17, 18 years of age. I wouldn't trade it, but it's not the same. And there is something about my relationship with God at that time in my life that was unique and powerful and potent. And I don't know if I can ever go back and recapture aspects of it. But it gave me a foundation to build on. I don't know what it is. I've thought about it. I've meditated on this. I've tried to see if I could come up with some answers. All I know is that God, when a young person, by the way, I don't think this is just true of young men, I think it's true of young ladies. When you come to God in your youth and you say, God, I want to seek you in my youth, he doesn't get that much. I didn't say there weren't a lot of saved kids that are of that age. I'm just saying most of them are running and chasing everything in the world but God. When you get a young person, and I'm not talking about coming to church, I'm not talking about being involved in a program, I'm not talking about obeying a mom, I'm talking about a young person in their youth that says, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to find God. I'm going to develop a relationship with God in my youth. There is something special that happens. I got to thinking, maybe it's because in our youth, everything's new. Everything's first time. And so the intensity of it is greater. The excitement of it is greater. I mean, maybe we just are, you know, less cumbered with the cares of the world. Maybe all the colors are a little brighter then. And all the experiences just, I don't know, maybe they're not as deep as later, but they're just more real than they'll ever be in your life. But let me say this. I have a prayer relationship with God now, but it's different than the prayer relationship I had in my youth. I wouldn't trade it. I don't have any desire to go back, but I'm glad I got it to look back on. And it's different, and you'll never recapture it. You'll experience it in your youth, or you'll miss experiencing that. I'm not saying you can't build a relationship with God later. I'm just saying there's an intensity, there's something special about walking with God and seeking God in your youth. Job looked back during times of testing here, when he's going through, I mean, the crucible of life here. And he reminisces in this way, oh, that I were in, as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You can do that when you're 30, but it's unreal when you do it when you're 13. As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacles. Preacher, explain that to me. I don't know if I can. You know why? It's a secret. I'll find God later. I'll get around to taking this thing serious one of these days. Okay, good. And I hope you do. I hope you do. You got to choose. You got to make choices. Okay. All right. Got a lot of great spiritual friends, not so spiritual friends, are telling you the whole thing. Oh, I'll find God later. Okay, you'll find God later, but you won't find him the way you'll find him now. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy... Why would God on purpose make sure in the preserved scriptures to encourage young people, you find him now. Now find him. Find him now. Why? Because the evil days have not come yet. Years have not drawn nigh when thou should say, I have no pleasure in them. I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining this or not. I'm telling you, young people, some of the adults in this room never had. You've got a chance. And some of you are curling your lip, turning up your nose at it. Shame on you. God wants to meet with you. I see the presence of God start coming upon some of the young people. Parents look at me. I'm not mad at you, but sometimes I want to strangle you. I see the presence and touch of God start coming upon you. You know what? I got kids going crazy. I work to help them. They start getting to the place where they're wanting to seek God. Then parents go crazy. You know why? The devil's going to fight everything he can to try to keep you from seeking God in your youth. What if I choose not to do it? You can come back later. I hope you do. I really mean that. I don't want to dissuade you. I don't want to discourage you. I hope 25, 30, 35, you wake up and come back and you seek God. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll have missed something that you'll never be able to experience in your life. My teenage years, listen, I walked with God. There was a specialist. My teenage years, I decided finally to take this book and hold it up and say, God, I am going to begin to find out what you've got to say to me. Not what you're saying to Daddy. Not what you're saying to Mommy. Not what you're saying to the preacher. I want to find out what you've got to say to me from the pages of this. I want to know you. Thank God in my 18 and 19 and 20 and 21-year-old years when a lot of young people decide that's the time to just go out and be a hellion. I'm glad I was walking the streets of Chicago trying to rescue sinners. I'm glad for those years. I'm glad for them. I'm glad for the times that late at night before the catch a ride home that in the dark I kneel outside of the home on a sidewalk of a teenager that I was trying to influence and get on my knees. Their house is dark. They're already put up for the night and they don't even know I'm there, but I'm on the sidewalk on my face praying for that young person and watching God answer that prayer. And the secret of God came upon my tabernacle in those years. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't trade that. Oh, you go ahead. Tell your big backslider stories about what you did and what you pulled and all this stuff. When you go ahead, you can have all them stories. I'll take my stories. I'll take the results of my choices. Thank you very much. And young men, this is a challenge that your preacher is going to close with tonight. And young ladies, you too. Because I'm going to tell you something. This isn't just a young man thing. There's something about your youth and the opportunity you have to personally walk with God right now and build a relationship that is going to be unlike anything else you'll ever have in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been able to spend together, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help our young people and help us to help our young people. I don't know, Lord, sometimes what becomes so important, so much more important than just seeking God. Lord, we need a generation that will come up and say, in my youth, I will remember my Creator. I'm going to go spend time in the presence of God until the secret of God cometh upon my tabernacle. I want to be like David, who sequestered himself away in the hills overseeing Bethlehem and learned to talk to God and write those beautiful psalms and play the harp and sing to God and understood the presence and power of God in his life as a teenage boy. Lord, I pray that you'd give our young people in 2012 a determination, a hunger. Seek you, Lord. You can be. Seek me early, he said. Seek me. God, you said, seek me early that I may be found. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us some young people just fall in love with you.